听力课堂，听 class.com。
Part 1. Nobel Lectures. Unit 1. Banquet Speech by Ivan Alisesevich Brunin. On November 9th, very far from here, in a poor country house in an old provincial town, I received the telephone call that informed me of the choice of the Swedish Academy. I would not be honest if I told you, as one does in such cases, that it was the profoundest emotional moment of my life. A great philosopher has said that even the most vehement feelings of joy hardly count in comparison with those which provoke sorrow. I do not wish to strike a note of sadness at this dinner, which I shall forever remember, but let me say nonetheless that in the course of the past 15 years, my sorrows have exceeded my joys, and not all of those sorrows have been personal, far from it. But I can certainly say that in my entire literary life, no other event has given me so much legitimate satisfaction as that little theatrical miracle, the telephone call from Stockholm to Grasse. The prize established by your great countryman, Alfred Nobel, is still the highest reward that can crown the work of a writer. Ambitious, like most men and all writers, I was extremely proud to receive that reward at the hands of the most competent and impartial of juries. And, be assured, gentlemen of the Academy, I was also extremely grateful, but I should have proved a paltry egotist if on that 9th of November I had thought only of myself. Overwhelmed by the congratulations and telegrams that began to flood me, I thought in the solitude and silence of night about the profound meaning in the choice of the Swedish Academy. For the first time since the founding of the Nobel Prize, you have awarded it to an exile. Who am I, in truth? An exile, enjoying the hospitality of France, to whom I likewise owe an eternal debt of gratitude. But, gentlemen of the Academy, let me say that, irrespective of my person and my work, your choice in itself is a gesture of great beauty. It is necessary that there should be centers of absolute independence in the world. No doubt, all differences of opinion, of philosophical and religious creeds, are represented around this table, but we are united by one truth, the freedom of thought and consciousness. To this freedom we owe civilization. For us writers, especially, freedom is a dogma and an axiom. Your choice, gentlemen, of the Academy, has proved once more that in Sweden the love of liberty is truly a national cult. Finally, a few words to end this short speech. My admiration for your royal family, your country, your people, your literature, does not date from this day alone. Love of letters and learning has been a tradition with the Royal House of Sweden, as with your entire noble nation, founded by an illustrious soldier. The Swedish dynasty is one of the most glorious in the world. May His Majesty, the King, the chivalrous King of the chivalrous people, permit a stranger, a free writer honored by the Swedish Academy, to express to him these sentiments of profound respect and deep emotion.